Marcus, for a range of reasons that are all my fault, this podcast is coming out a little bit later than what we usually do.
That's okay. Better late than never.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You're about to finish off.
Nah, I mean, generally we're pretty random with our topics, so I think you'll still enjoy it if you're listening a little bit later. They're still fun topics.
So this week we are recording an intro for the topics we spoke about last week. So that you can listen to them and whatever week this is,
Yeah.
whenever you're listening. Could be next year. This could be 2037 that you're listening to this. So what we spoke about back in
Way back.
2018,
Yes.
it was late November. The last week of November in 2018. That week, talk of the town and the world was a humble steer named Nickers. At one point, he was being referred to as a cow. He became known as the biggest cow,
Yes.
one of the biggest cows out there.
A very impressive picture on social media. Got
Yeah.
everyone crazy. Went
Went
we went
viral.
viral. That's the word.
And we spoke about it twice.
Mm.
Because first time round, you smelled a rat. Your journalistic little buzzer in your
Yes.
head, side your head was going off.
Yeah, it was just too good to be true. Too awesome. Too
Yeah.
freakish.
So we revisited and just found out just how on the money you were. We also spoke about this week, I think there were scientists pinpointed the exact year in human history that it was the worst year to be alive.
Thankfully, it's not 2018.
No, not even close to 2018.
And I also come up with a few of my favorite years.
Yeah, you did some good reminiscing. I
Yeah.
enjoyed that.
Yeah. There weren't too many that recently, but there's some more big ones coming up, I'm sure.
That's right, for both of us
Exactly.
and our dear listeners.
Yes.
Catherine Zeta-Jones made some comments that caught our eyes and ears. What she said gave me pause, and I wanted to investigate these comments and ended up feeling like the woman is a raving lunatic.
She is. And what I also found from this discussion was maybe I've got a little tiny little crush on
Oh, that's right. A crush that has been going probably into its second decade.
Yeah, maybe third even. So you've kind of ruined the. She was on the pedestal, now she's just down on normal territory.
And spoiler alert, if you were ever a big fan of a Darling Buds of May, you'll definitely want to tune in. Anything else you wanted to add, Marcus?
No, it's so far back I can't even remember, so I reckon let's just go straight into it and remember the week that was.
Newsman, I have a story here, which is one I know you'll be able to relate to. I wish I could have said that before I finished saying it before I started laughing.
Oh.
But you would feel this same way. As Catherine Zeta-Jones, or Zeta-Jones, I don't know, who this week has told the world, "Hey, I'm sick of apologizing for being rich and gorgeous."
Very funny. No, I've never had that issue, web guy.
I wasn't, you look real downbeat then. I wasn't meaning to. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You are no less rich or gorgeous than I am. We're in the same basket here.
Yes.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, she sees herself as in a whole nother basket altogether.
Yeah. And I wonder why she's a poli like why who's attacking her?
Great question. I had similar questions after I read some of these quotes, which I'll just give these to you. She's told a UK magazine, "One thing I'm not is humble anymore. I'm sick of being humble. I really am. So sorry I'm rich. So sorry I'm married to a movie star. So sorry I'm not so bad looking." End quote. Now, that quote does not read well. I mean, as I speak that, I'm thinking this only someone who's kind of horrible would say this stuff.
No. Okay, sorry, you've got a bit of crush on it.
You're sticking up. I think this is a bit of what you were saying. Well, I had no idea that she was renowned for being so humble all this time. She's saying as if she's had a gutful.
Yeah.
Like, I've been so humble up until now, but now I'm just dropping it. Well, I never knew she had this rep.
Yeah, like, I don't have any recollections of seeing articles about... I've always only seen favourable things written about her, really.
Well, that's interesting, because now that she's said this, it feels like the lid is off. Because now all these quotes have come back to haunt her. This one from 2003. $1 million isn't a lot of money for people like us. Well, maybe it's not, but why would you say that?
Yeah.
In 2009, she boasted about collecting houses. This is what she said. Some people collect art or lots of money. We collect houses. Because if we have to look at something, we prefer the view.
Hmm.
I don't even get it. She goes on to say about the really hard thing about owning lots of houses is when you're wanting to wear a particular pair of shoes and then you realize, dang it, they're in one of the other houses. She actually said that. She said, so that's why I have to buy duplicates. So, I don't know.
I was picturing, though, like, you buy a lovely house and then you rent it out, or it's... No, they're moving. Oh, it's Tuesday. Let's go to number two.
We prefer the view. Is she saying that they only want to look at things that they own, or that they buy these houses and knock them down?
Oh, it's very confusing. The art quote, I thought that was saying, rather than a picture, I'd rather look out the window at a... You know,
oh, yeah. I get you. So anyway, that all adds up to, I don't know, I'd never really thought much about Catherine Zeta-Jones beyond the laser beam scene in Entrapment movie. but I'm thinking now that she's brought attention to herself, I'm thinking, heck.
Yeah, those quotes are not great. Have they been verified?
They have, yeah.
Yeah. Can I tell her, for some reason, of all the beautiful women of Hollywood, I feel like I've got a special connection, a special ownership with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Wow. I had no idea.
And that is because, have you ever, do you know sort of her career path? And there was a show called The Darling Buds of May.
Okay, don't know it.
Right. Well, I don't know if it was her breakout role, but it was definitely before all her movies.
Right.
And being a pretty pathetic teenager, I used to spend much a Saturday night at home with my parents. And that it was one of those shows, a very pleasant ABC-style family in the UK countryside. And she was an innocent young woman. And I feel like I discovered her. I knew about her before she was famous.
You liked her before she was cool.
Yeah. Okay. There's the only shit. That's all. No stalking. Just.
I get why you were so frosty as I was going through all these comments. I didn't realize that she's a personal friend of yours.
Leave seat alone.
G'day, newsman.
Hello.
Don't know where this one will lead us, but let me talk to you about knickers. Have you heard of knickers?
I know plenty about knickers, but I'm feeling a bit embarrassed. Knickers.
This is the name of Australia's largest cow.
Ooh.
And he's been in the news this week, and you think, largest cow? Okay, who cares? But then if you see the picture of Knickers in the paddock with other cows.
Mm.
Towers. Yeah, the extent that he stands out from the crowd is absurd.
Mm.
He is 194 centimetres off the... Like, his height, like, he's on all fours.
Yeah.
But he reaches, you know, 194 centimetres off the ground. which is a lot taller than your average cow. And he weighs almost 1.5 tonnes, which I'm not sure what the average cow weighs, but it's got to be less than half of that.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the comparisons.
Tell me more. How has this freak of nature occurred?
You can't call him that.
Oh, sorry.
Now,
does that make him a bull? Like, I'm not quite, not over my, if it's not a, I thought cows were females.
Let's not get bogged down and expose our ignorance.
It's bovine.
Yeah, bovine behemoth is what he's been dubbed.
Oh, beautiful. Excellent.
But they're calling him a cow, but also a male, so I don't know the ins and outs of that. And I don't know how he got to be so big. Like, I immediately had some kind of steroids conspiracy theory in my mind. Like, there's got to be some kind of artificial assistance helping him reach this size because he's enormous.
Yep.
The owner said his size is actually going to be this cow's saving grace. He would have been heading to the abattoir, but he's too big. The owner says it was too heavy. I wouldn't be able to put it through a processing facility.
Oh, I thought it was an emotional reason, not practical.
It's all about the dollars. So he goes on to say, so I think it will just live happily ever after.
Oh.
Wow, luckiest cow out.
I wonder how long a cow lives for. Be like a horse, 20, 30, 35 years or something? Or?
You'd think they'd get a fair innings. He cost $400. Apparently they bought him as a coach. So they must have known buying him that he wouldn't... that they wouldn't, you know, make money off him, to put that in a nicer way, perhaps. But they thought he would be an animal that could take charge of the herd and show them the ropes of life on the farm.
Well, looking at the pictures, and I'm just making an impression on the picture, is that Nickers is not a leader. Nickers is happy to be the huge cow in the middle of the herd.
Yeah, and he's not leading, he's just eating. He would constantly be feeding himself. I reckon the best way I could describe him, how Nickers looks in the paddock with his other fellow cows. If you imagined Shaquille O'Neal out on the playground with preschoolers, that's about the similarity, I reckon.
It is. What's your take on what... Which animal, which thing is okay to look at and say, oh, you're huge? Because it's not really acceptable in humankind. But I was trying to think of other news stories that involve something that's bigger than normal.
Yeah.
Babies.
Oh,
we're happy to, not people, not too much, but a baby that comes out that's like huge. We're happy to just cover that all over.
Yeah, that's true. I reckon the cutoff when that becomes inappropriate is at about the age of 1 day old.
Right.
Once you, like in the hours after you've born, if your dimensions are of note, it's you know, fine to comment on. But almost like by the next day, just it's no go.
Yeah.
No go. Except the other perhaps... exception is the tallest man in the world.
Yes.
It always seems to be a man. It's never like the tallest person is never a woman, as far as I've known. Happy to point him out.
Yes.
Whoever that like giant is at the time. And you know, there's been some bean poles.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any other.
The other animal that always is like, ha, is when people buy a little pig.
Okay.
And then it's huge. And it's living in the house.
Sounds very specific.
Like, I've seen so many stories where...
He's living in
my house. And dogs. I've seen massive dogs.
Okay.
I think there was actually a TV show on not that long ago, maybe a year ago, World's Biggest, and there were some big animals, but never a cow. I've never seen a cow.
No, this was new for me. This cow, Nickers, he's not actually even the biggest in the world.
Really?
The official Guinness World Record holder is another, well... It says here that he's a Chianina ox. I assume that must be a type of cow. Named Bellino, lives in Italy, so his name is probably actually Bellino. And he is 2 meters tall, so he's got an extra few centimeters on Nickers, and he weighs 1.7 tons compared to Nickers' 1.4 tons.
Mm.
Hard, just difficult to look at pictures of Nickers and think that there's a cow even bigger than him out there.
Yeah. He could do some damage. It's like the closest thing. Is he close to an elephant or I don't know.
Imagine we actually made a mistake. That he's an elephant. The elephant got in the cow paddock and we all got confused.
Now, Web Guy, the other disappointing thing for this story for me is the internet has opened up a whole wide world of bizarre stories that we get access to all the time. Mm. As a child, I loved the Guinness Book of Records because it came out each year, had pictures, and you would just marvel over crazy things, huge things, small things.
Yeah.
But the first thing, when you showed me the image of Nickers, I said, oh, that can't be real.
Yeah.
And it disappoints me that no longer can I look at something amazing, something out of the ordinary, and accept it. I'm always thinking, no, someone's trying to pull the wool over my
eyes. Well, you might still be proven right. Next week, we'll probably be doing a podcast segment about, oh, Nickers, the famous Australian cow, was a hoax. It was actually two mules in a costume. You know, this hasn't played. We haven't heard the end of Nickers yet. This could very well be some stunt. Who would set up a PR stunt like this? Who would it benefit?
Mm.
Like, I don't know, some cow food company that's going to all of a sudden, I don't know. Anyway, I know what you're saying, but you may yet be proven right. Newsman, we've never spoken about the same story twice in the 1 week.
No, it's unprecedented. Normally we're all over, scattergun approach.
And I wasn't sure whether to do this or not, but then I decided I need to pay tribute to your world-class journalistic instincts.
Oh, shucks.
Because when we were talking about Nickers, the giant cow, we were just talking about him just then. You said something along the lines of you didn't believe it, or at first you didn't believe it. You smelled a rat.
Yeah, I was talking about how it disappoints me that I no longer believe anything amazing on the internet.
And I tried to encourage you that don't feel bad about that. You should distrust everything until you have reason to trust
until it. Until I've seen it, smelt it, felt it.
And hot on the heels of that, of your skepticism, the Washington Post, reputable, you'd say, sent out a tweet saying the big cow is a lie.
Oh.
And that linked to a story which basically said there's a whole lot of reasons why this animal appears so huge. And there's a little bit of an illusion going on.
Ooh.
So I thought we should probably set the record straight.
Yes.
The Post quoted a expert in animal breeding and genomics at a uni in the Netherlands. Who said that, and this is exactly what you said. This, I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman. This expert said that, off the top, Nickers is not a cow. You said that. You said, hang on, I thought a cow was a female.
Female species, yeah.
Now the expert says, Nickers is not a cow. Newsman was correct. Nickers is not a cow, but a steer. So the males are always larger than the females anyway. Only females who have had at least one calf are referred to as cows.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You have to have become a mother.
I guess so, yeah. So I don't know what the female cow that doesn't give birth to calves is called. Maybe there's no such thing.
Old milkmaid. Old maid.
Maybe. I defer to you as the expert on all cattle topics from now on.
No, don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, now this is where the expert starts to explain this almost optical illusion. Nickers is a male Holstein, which usually reach about 6 feet tall. Nickers was over 6 feet. So still big for his species.
Mm.
But he was surrounded by Wagyu cattle who are usually come in at closer to 4 feet.
Mm.
So you said that as well.
Yes.
He is, this is not apples with apples. He is in amongst a whole different breed.
That's yes.
Different to him.
Like putting a, not quite, but putting a four-wheel drive next to a Mini.
Yeah. Well, this expert had another analogy.
And saying it's the same car. Yeah.
This expert said, Niggers looks larger because he's standing among a herd of Danny DeVito's, not a herd of Arnold Schwarzenegger's. So, yes, he is a Schwarzenegger. This is a big beast.
Mm.
But we weren't looking at apples with apples. So, vindicated. One newsman, zero internet is my tally now.
Now, if we're going to go through this, throughout the history of this podcast, I have been the silly one that has embraced celebrity stories, has embraced weird stories, and you've brought me back to earth. Mm. So over a year or so of practice, you have trained me to be a bit more skeptical about these things. So take some credit.
Oh, I'll take all the credit.
Take all of it if you wish.
Sounds like you're giving it all to me, so I'll take it all.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm glad that I've been able to train you in the ways of the internet Jedi.
Now, if I was the farmer that took this photo, I would keep it going. I would get Nickers out there and stand him next to a person, perhaps, and come clean and just keep it going. Don't leave us. Don't leave us just hanging with it.
I don't think they want to keep it going. The Post article has some quotes from the owner.
Yeah,
this is a farm in Western Australia as well, so Aussies. And the guy who owns Nickers basically said, you know, he was approached for comment and said, you know, like, we love all this attention, but we've actually got a really busy business that we've got to see to, so we're just going to get back to that. If it's okay. So I don't know how Nickers got out in the end. Initially, you think probably they must have made some move to, you know, get some publicity or put him out there. I don't know how he became famous in the first place, but now the owners are definitely feeling like we've had our fun. We are going to go back and run our enormous cattle station that requires round-the-clock work, I guess.
Tim, do you think people on the land are having a bit of a laugh at city folk at the moment? Like, you would expect, if this is the case and all that is true, that many a farmer has looked at the picture and gone, yes, you can't put that, you can't put him, a steer, next to Wagyu cows. It's ludicrous.
I think you're right. And as you say, it makes me think we've probably been punked. This is probably a prank. Mm. This is probably country people playing a joke on
dumb city folk.
Dumb city. What's the derogatory term for someone who lives in the city?
I don't know. City slicker.
City slicker.
No, that's not. That's a kind of. I don't know.
City rat.
Do you like optical illusions? I was mad
love
for them when I was
love
a kid.
Love them.
Like whenever I see, I reckon there has been a display in, is it the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney or Melbourne? I don't know, but there's this sort of, they've made these murals and artworks that are so 3D that, and people putting on Facebook all the time, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah, well, remember the Magic Eye books?
Yes. Oh, I couldn't do those.
Oh.
I reckon I got one, but I wasn't 100% sure what it was.
You pretended that you got one.
Nah, I gave it a good hard crack. Like, I wasn't just like, nah, can't do it.
But once you get one, then you got to do them all.
Mm.
That first time you can finally see the 3D picture,
yep.
It's like your eyes have been opened to a new dimension.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, now I got to find them all.
Yep. So, have you ever tried to do a visual, illusion?
Tried to what?
You know, everyone does the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Okay.
I remember once I tried, and this is when they were called Instamatic cameras, so they were probably...
This was in 1842?
Yes. They were it had film in it. It was like a pen case, like a nice...
All right.
That sort of size.
Yes.
And so you couldn't, it wasn't before digital, so you couldn't check
it. Yeah, we know. It was the 1800s.
Yeah, and
Lincoln was president.
I got my sister to hold her hand out, and I got my brother to go about 400 metres in the distance.
Yeah.
And I actually got it to line up.
Wow. You were probably the first person to ever do it.
No, of course not. But it took skill and it took pressure because you got 24 photos on that film.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not taking 10 to make sure. No. You're taking one.
Every shot costs you money.
I have to go dig that one up. Show you.
Question for you, newsman. Mm. As a society, are we better off now than we were 50 years ago?
That's a great question, Web Guy. It's one of those debates where people that get to a certain age, they say, oh, it's not like the olden days. Yeah. It was a simpler life. You often see, I don't know if they're called memes or it's a written thing that always people go, if you were born in the 80s, you remember going under the sprinkler and riding your bike at night and not worrying about things. So there's always that debate. When was the sweet spot in life? And I think it varies for every person.
It does vary for every person. That's why I think when you look at an overall population, you have to say that we're better off now. Mm. I think because everyone, it's subjective. But if you look objectively at statistics, like world poverty, war and death, and literacy and mortality rates, starvation, poverty, like we're way better off now than we were, you know, 1,000 years ago, much better off than we were 100 years ago, and, you know, significantly better off than we were 50 years ago.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. And superficially, obviously, as usual, you've gone the deeper, bigger picture and I'm scratching the surface. But, you know, in the high tech world we've got now, things are so much simpler. There's a lot of great benefits from being in 2018.
People talk about that. We have technology at our fingertips, but then at the same time, everyone's so busy and anxious and
it's sort of a
stressed
flip of the coin, isn't it? You've got access to so much great stuff, yet it can be a burden and a social deterrent.
That's why I think when you look at bird's eye view as a civilization, you know, we are trending up. But day to day, a person, an individual living their life, I mean, I don't reckon it's probably changed much at all in thousands of years.
Mm.
You know, even cavemen had their, you know, they had their struggles.
Yep.
Obviously, probably a lot more struggles than we have.
Yeah, anyway, a little bit more life and death. But you know.
What I'm trying to say is, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I have this sitting in front of me, though, which is a news story this week where scientists have pinpointed the precise year that it was the most miserable time to be alive.
Not the best, miserable. Most miserable.
Oh. When would you guess?
Somewhere in the dark ages where there was disease and witches being burnt alive. I don't know.
Yeah, you think of that, don't you? Now, what they've come up with is the year 536.
Oh, that year.
I don't know where that fits in with the Dark Ages. I think that's before the Dark Ages. I think that's probably a long time before the Dark Ages.
Yep.
So, you know, the Dark Ages were just an absolute cruise. Sunshine lollipops compared to 536.
Yeah.
Most miserable time to be alive. What is he? He's an author of a new study. He's told, he's a medieval historian at Harvard. He said it was the beginning of one of the worst periods to be alive, if not the worst year. So that was the worst year, and, you know, they were quite bad for a while after that.
Mm.
And you spoke about, I think, what did you say, war and witches and...
Yeah. Bad disease, just wiping out people.
Yeah, that's what you think of. I don't know why I laughed at that. that was not exactly the case. It was widespread famine, boiled down to just a shocking famine that hit most of the world.
Mm.
Owing to, they believe, good evidence to suggest it was a volcanic winter. Does not sound good.
No.
Mystery cloud obscuring the sun. They think there was an eruption in Iceland, and this sparked what's known as the Late Antique Little Ice Age. So basically blocked out the sun, and nothing could grow, and no one had food.
That's always a starting point.
So that's a recipe for misery. Snow was falling in China during summer. Drought hit Peru. Apparently in Irish history that there's some reference to a failure of bread in the year 536.
A failure of what?
Bread.
Bread.
They couldn't make bread. And then, so as if the famine wasn't bad enough, they also think that triggered all kinds of political upheavals around the place. All kinds of societies started crumbling. So why are we exploring this so deeply? I don't really know. I guess it makes us, if you are feeling like 2018 is a bit of a tough time to be alive, just think back to the poor folks from 536.
536. Once again, you've come up with a good party conversation topic, I think.
Well, is it really though? It seems more like a downer than anything.
Oh, well, you know, it depends what sort of party you go to. On the personal front, have you ever reflected on life, or was there a period where you thought that was a sweet spot in my life, or you were happy with that year?
Year 7 was a good year. That must have been 1992 or 3, I guess. Just everything just fell my way that year. And never again after that. How about for you?
Well, I remember 93 I was happy with. I did year 12 twice, wasn't too successful the first year, but in 93 came back, did what I needed to do, got full marks in my media studies, so
yes.
Pats on the back,
yes.
Ceremonies. Just feeling good about my academic studies. 2004, I'm a footy fan. Port Adelaide winning the grand final.
So your whole year, you can judge your whole year based on what happened during 2 hours on one day in that year.
No, that was part of it.
Okay.
But yeah, obviously that was a good part of it, going to the MCG to watch the 2004 grand final.
Yep.
I think that was a year I was also still employed at Win TV in the Riverland. So I had, real high hopes that something was amazing was going to happen in my career. I was going to become the next Ray Martin. So there's good feelings from those 2 years. From that point, I don't know, it's just sort of, I don't know if you get older and your recollection of years is less strong, I don't know. I guess my daughter's being born a couple of years ago. If you had a lineal timeline, that would be
That's got to have spiked higher than Win TV career.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. So year 7 for you, going to a footy match for me. We've raised the bar. Those poor people in 536 must be just, if they were here still, would be shaking their heads.